The Prime Minister and the Opposition Leader are on the campaign trail in Melbourne today, and already in this election there have been plenty of promises about health and hospital spending, tax cuts and jobs. Scott Morrison is promising to create a quarter of a million jobs for young people, and Bill Shorten is promising to restore $2.8 billion in public hospital funding. There will undoubtedly be plenty of big spending promises during this campaign. Whoever wins this election will come into office with a projected return to surplus. Joining us for our Monday Morning Finance this morning is Shane Oliver, the Head of Investment Strategy and Chief Economist for AMP Capital. Shane, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
So the Coalition has pledged to create 1.25 million jobs over the next 5 years, 250,000 of them for young Australians. Is that achievable?
I think it is achievable. Over the last 5 years, the growth of jobs in Australia has been 1.9 million.
So it's not even as good as usual.
It's not quite as good as it has been over the last 5 years. But you've got to bear in mind that the last 5 years was unusually strong. It did see unemployment go down from 5.9% to 4.9%. And of course, if we're going to have those 1.25 million jobs, it would be assuming no recession for the next 5 years, which means our 28-year record of no recession would stretch out to 33 years. So it is a little bit on the strong side, but I'd have to say yes, on the basis of the last 5 years, we could achieve something like that.
Okay, so jobs is one thing, wage growth is another, and there hasn't been much of it over the last 5 years. Part of Labor's campaign pitch of a fair go includes a living wage that would be set by the Fair Work Commission. Now, the government says that's a risk, that Australians on low-paying jobs will be finding it harder to find employment if the minimum wage goes up. How do you see this?
I think it certainly is a risk. One of the reasons we have had that very strong jobs growth in the last 5 years has been very low wages growth. So there's a bit of a trade-off here. Over the last few years, the minimum wage has increased faster than average. It's been going up about 3.5% per annum, whereas average wages have been going up about 2 to 2.5%. And there hasn't been much. It hasn't really pushed unemployment up for young people on the minimum wage. But obviously, if you push that a bit farther, if the minimum wage starts going up at 5%, then it would suggest more of a risk for those people on the minimum wage.
I suppose the question, though, is for all those people whose wages aren't going up. Yes, they've got jobs, but when are they going to? What's going to force their wages up?
That's a good question. I reckon bottom line is we need to see a combination of even lower unemployment. So even though we talk about unemployment at 4.9% coming down from where it's been the last few years, that's still a little bit high. In the US, the unemployment rate had to go below 4%.
Yeah.
And likewise, we've still got 8% of the workforce in underemployment. So we've still got a lot of
capacity. There's no sign of that happening, though, is there? The budget says employment growth is going to slow, and you just said 1.25 million is less than the 1.9 million we've just had.
Yes, it would still go. If we got 1.25 million over the next 5 years, we'd still see unemployment go down. On my calculation, it would fall to around 4.4%, which would be good. But that's what you really need. You really need to keep jobs growth strong and unemployment going down to get wages growth up on a sustainable basis.
The RBA has been trying to understand what it calls the tension between strong jobs growth and the soft economy, and we're set to get an update on the jobs market later this week. What do you expect to see?
We think that the jobs numbers will look okay. We're looking for another 10,000 new jobs to have been created in March, but that is still a slowdown on the pace we've seen over recent months or recent years. And of course, as a result, we see the unemployment rate going up very slightly from 4.9 to 5%. But if you look at the slowdown in the economy seen over the last 6 months, that does point to some slowdown in the trend rate of growth in jobs, but we'll still see positive jobs growth.
The minutes of the latest RBA board meeting will be out this week. What are they likely to tell us about the prospect of any interest rate cuts on the horizon, Shane?
Well, those minutes are going to be watched closely, because back in February, the Reserve Bank moved to what you'd call a neutral bias. It said there's just as much chance that rates would go up as they would go down. The last statement that the RBA released following its meeting 2 weeks ago suggested that it might be relaxing its neutral bias, becoming a little bit more twisting towards an easing bias, if you like, because they changed the wording at the end, referring to becoming more flexible in relation to supporting growth in the economy. So I think those minutes will retain the easing bias, but they might sound a little less certain. In other words, suggesting that the Reserve Bank may be heading towards an easing going forward, whereas so far they've just been sitting on the fence.
And Shane, what are economists like you thinking as you watch on of this election campaign? We're only 5 days in. We've got both sides promising surpluses and one side saying my surplus will be bigger than yours, but they're also spending a lot of money.
They are spending a lot of money. It does make you question whether it's all going to be sustainable in a long-term sense. And of course, we are assuming that the economy remains in good shape for the next 5, 6, 7, or in some cases 10 years. Some of this debate is stretching out for 10 years. And of course, there is a lot of uncertainty around that. And one of the, I guess, the problems of the last decade or so is that we did increase government spending a lot around the time of the GFC, which I think was precisely the wrong thing to do. Sorry, the right thing to do, I should say. Correct that. The right thing to do. That's one of the reasons we avoided a recession at the time. But the problem has been we haven't been able to get our spending growth back under control. So as things currently stand on current projections, yes, it's fine. There is that flexibility there. But if things go wrong, then, of course, that will suggest a problem.
Okay. Shane, China releases its all-important economic growth figures this week. How's our biggest trading partner likely to be tracking?
Well, there's two things to focus on here. Firstly, they will release their March quarter GDP numbers, and that will show a further slowdown in growth, probably from around 6.4% in the December quarter, tracking down to around 6.3% in the March quarter. That said, on the same day, on Wednesday, they will also release data for March for industrial production, retail sales and investment. And I think they will all show a slight pickup in the pace of growth. So what you've been seeing in China late last year, going into early this year, has been stimulus efforts to try and boost the pace of growth in China. It won't be enough to help the March quarter as a whole, but I think it will have helped that monthly data for March, and we'll see a pickup in the pace of growth, consistent with some of the data we saw out on Friday night out of China, which was looking a little bit stronger.
Okay. And Shane, we've just got a minute and a half to the news. How are our markets here set to start the week?
Well, we've seen a pretty good lead-in from Europe and Wall Street on Friday night our time. European shares were up 0.5%. The S&P 500 was up 0.7%. And that was on the back of some pretty good economic data coming out of China. That data for China on exports and credit growth showed a pickup. So that was taken positively. We also saw some good earnings data out of the US for the US banks. So that suggests a positive lead-in. The only thing is that the futures contract for our market, the ASX 200 futures contract, was dead flat. And I think that was because we had a pretty good gain in our share market on Friday. We were up 0.8%. So my guess is we'll probably be flat, but I wouldn't be surprised if we're up a little bit. But futures contract, no strong lead at this point in time. The Aussie dollar had a good rally on Friday, and that was because global shares had a rally. So our currency tends to go up whenever there's a bit of optimism around. So the Aussie dollar went up from around 71.25 US cents, ending at present at one Australian dollar buying 71.76 US cents.
Heading up. Shane Oliver, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Shane Oliver is Head of Investment Strategy and Chief Economist for AMP Capital.